Good morning, dear brethren and sisters. It's lovely to be here, and thanks for inviting us. I'd like to bring a loving greeting to the Waitakere Ecclesia. So this morning, I'm not actually going to look at the readings we had today, but we're going to look at the word grace. And what we want to look at with grace is, we want to look at it in relation to people who received it in the Bible. And why these people we have recorded in the scriptures were given grace. So we'll see that grace is only given to those who are righteous, or to those who will become righteous after they have received God's grace, and that actually they are saved by it. So if we turn to the second epistle of Peter, we'll start off. We have two men who are mentioned as being righteous, and they were saved. So 2 Peter and chapter 2. And we'll start at verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of the judgment to be punished. So Noah is mentioned as being a preacher of righteousness. So he had to be righteous to do this. So you know Noah was righteous. And Lot is also described as being just in verse 7, just Lot, which is actually the same word for righteous. And it actually says in verse 8 that Lot, because of the wickedness of Sodom, Lot vexed his righteous soul. So both righteous men were saved, because, as it says, God will deliver the godly, but the unjust, as in the days of Noah and Lot, are punished with death and destruction. So now we have righteous and we have saved, but we haven't got the word grace used of them. But if we go back now to the Old Testament, to the accounts of Noah and Lot, we can see that grace also has to do with them being righteous and bringing their salvation. So if we go back to Genesis and chapter 6 to start with. So in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, we actually have the very first occurrence of grace in the Bible. And this is to do with Noah. And we'll start at verse 5 for some context. So Genesis 6, verse 5. And Yahweh saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented Yahweh that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So Peter's word, we were just looked at, righteous, is used here of Noah. The word just, again, in verse 9. And also we have this righteous man in verse 8, finding grace in the eyes of God. So here we have Noah, who from Peter we know is righteous, and he found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. And as we know from Peter, Noah and his family were saved from the flood's destruction. So by being righteous, and therefore having found God's grace, Noah was delivered from God's judgments. So now if we turn a few chapters over to Genesis and chapter 19, and here we can see the account of Lot. And this is the second instance that grace is used in the Bible. So in Genesis 19, in a similar situation to Noah, Lot was in a wicked place. He was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is about to destroy the wicked once again. But like Noah, Lot was a righteous man, as we know from what the Apostle Peter told us. And in Genesis, the word righteous is not actually used of Lot, but we know he was, even in Genesis. Because Abraham, before this, reasoned with God about saving any righteous in Sodom. And since Sodom was destroyed and Lot was delivered from God's judgments, Abraham's word righteous would apply to Lot in the Old Testament as well. So Genesis 19, and we'll go in at verse 15, I think. And when the morning arose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." Verse 16, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, Yahweh being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now the city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for which thou hast spoken." So God therefore saved the righteous, and that is Lot. And what does it say in verse 19? Lot says that this is called grace. "I have found grace in thy sight." So grace relates here to God being merciful and saving him. It says in verse 16, Yahweh being merciful unto him. And because verse 29 says, God remembered Abraham and he was concerned about the righteous being saved, Lot received grace as he was righteous like Noah. So far we have seen there is a link with the righteous finding grace before God and that involving their salvation. I want to now look at King David, who had God's grace and he was delivered. So we jump to the New Testament, to Acts chapter 7. So Acts chapter 7 and verse 45. "Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favour before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob." So where's this word grace? Well, verse 36, "who found favour before God." And the word favour is the same Greek word. It's the word in Greek called charis, and it's predominantly translated grace in the New Testament. So David found grace or favour before God. So now if we jump back to the Old Testament, to 2 Samuel chapter 12, we have there the incident where Nathan shows David of his sin in killing Uriah and committing adultery with Bathsheba. That's 2 Samuel chapter 12. So teach Samuel 12 and starting at verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of Yahweh to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus says Yahweh, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbour, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, and before the sun. So what was the outcome given David deserved death? Verse 13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Yahweh. And Nathan said unto David, Yahweh also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt surely not die. So thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of Yahweh to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and Yahweh struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. So what was David's response to this? Well, it was to pray to God for the life of the child. Verse 16, David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And however, we know that the child dies. When David was challenged by his servants as to why now, when the child was dead, he ate and drank when before he fasted and wept when it wasn't dead. What was David's answer to this? Verse 22, and he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether Yahweh will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So we can see that God was not gracious to David in saving the child's life. However, he was gracious to David in that he spared his own life. David's continued life before God meant God's purpose through him would continue. Solomon is born to David and Bathsheba, and that line to Christ, who would bring eternal salvation, is secure. Verse 24 says, and David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And Yahweh loved him. So we know David was a man who walked in truth and in righteousness. He walked in integrity of heart, and he kept God's commandments throughout his life. And it was only just one instance where he sinned against God. But because he knew how to truly repent, he was still able to receive God's blessing of grace. And if we turn to Hebrews chapter 12, we have a complete contrast to David here. So Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 15 to 17. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So in contrast here, in Hebrews, we have Esau, who did not repent, so did not inherit the blessing of grace. Esau did not have God in his heart, and he was not able to repent. He didn't know what the grace of God was. He was a worldly man. It would be like God being gracious to the people of Sodom to be gracious to Esau. The Ninevites repented at the preaching of Jonah, But Lot's presence in Sodom had no effect on that city. David knew he had sinned against God in the matter of Bathsheba, as he acknowledged in Psalm 51, verse 4, and I'll just read this. It says, "Against thee," this is God, "against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." And Esau would not have had a consciousness of sin to repent or acknowledge what he had done. But true repentance with David meant God was gracious to him, whereas Esau found no place for repentance. So true repentance is essential and comes by us confessing our sins, God being faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as it says in 1 John 1:9. In this way, unlike Esau, a believer will receive the grace of God. So David was not only delivered on this occasion. If we turn to Psalm 34, we have another example. So Psalm 34 and verse 6. "This poor man cried, and Yahweh heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of Yahweh encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." So let's use the Apostle Peter's use of the Old Testament again, and see him using some of the words of verse 8 in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. Peter is telling us that all who have repented and been converted can taste of God's grace by his word. So 1 Peter 2 and verse 3 says, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So this is different from the psalm. In Psalm 34, it was "taste and see that Yahweh is good." And in Peter, it is about tasting that the Lord is gracious. And gracious then has replaced the word good. So in short, where there is deliverance or a conversion, we taste that Yahweh is good or gracious. So our final example then is the Apostle Paul. So if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. And 1 Corinthians 15 is where Paul talks about his conversion and his deliverance in terms of God's grace. So 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll start at verse 9. "For I, Paul, am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the ecclesia of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." So God was gracious to Paul, who was baptized and converted from being a persecutor to being a believer who was persecuted. As Jesus says in Acts 9:16, "I will show him great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So Paul realized this great gift God had given him, and it gave him a great driving force, making him labor harder than the other apostles in preaching the gospels to the Gentiles and carrying out God's work as a chosen vessel. So then this morning we have considered the word grace, looking at the Hebrew and the Greek words where they occur, using just a few typical examples. And back at England, at school times, when we had a meal, often you'd remember the word grace was used for giving thanks, and you see it on American TV programs. So in other words, grace and thanks are used in an equivalent way. And this is actually because of the influence that the Greek New Testament has had on our language, because the Greek word grace, this word charis, that we've been looking at, is translated thanks in the English in some places, because that's what it means in those uses. And Paul had a lot to give thanks for because of the grace of God in his life. It is interesting to see him use the thanks sense of charis, our word grace, in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And this is in relation to what Christ did for him on a Damascus road. So 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So, this morning we've not considered other words associated with grace, like gracious or free gift. And nor have we particularly looked at Jesus in the study. But of course, John tells us that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Paul was a recipient of this grace and this truth from Jesus Christ. And others we've looked at, like Noah, Lot, and David, also received grace. And I'd like to end with Paul's words in Timothy and Titus, because they remind us how we are linked to that same grace of God in the salvation that has come to us because of what Christ did for us. So I'm going to read two passages. The first one's from 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 9. According to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And the second passage is from Titus 2 and verses 11 to 13. Titus 2, 11 to 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Thank you.